Okay, good morning, everybody. Good Chodesh. Welcome back. Post Yontif. Another season. We're holding in Perek Tesvav of the Tiferes Yisrael. In this Perek, it's a very short perek, relatively speaking, for the Maharal. Thank you very much. It's going to be speaking about a specific Mishnah, a very famous Mishnah. At least the first part of the Mishnah is very famous. Very foundational Mishnah. Mishnah which forms the basis for the Yud Gimel Ikorei HaEmunah, for the 13 principles of faith, as they were articulated and explained by the Rambam. The Mishnah of Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba. The Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek le'olam haba, she'nemar ba'amech kulam tzadikim le'olam yirshu aretz. It says, all the Jewish people have a portion in the olam haba, in the world to come, as it says, your nation, they are all tzadikim, they will eternally have their portion, inherit the land. Ve'elu she'en lehem chelek le'olam haba. Okay, this is what you call the fine print. But the following don't have a portion of the olam haba. Okay, in other words, after this sort of absolute statement, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem, well, there are some who don't. Ha'emer, those who say, in tchias ha'mesim min ha'tayra, that the Torah doesn't speak of a resurrection of the dead. Ve'in tayra min ha'shamayim, and the Torah doesn't come from heaven. V'apikairas, likewise an apikairas, whatever that is. Rabbi Akiva, ha'emer, Rabbi Akiva added, avakairi b'sfarim chitzaynim, likewise someone who reads in the Sfarim HaChitzayinim. The Gemara explains, Sfarim HaChitzayinim, right? Literally, the way that's translated into English, or more accurately into Greek, that is the Apocrypha, right? The outside books, the books that were not part of the Tanakh. But the Gemara explains that this doesn't refer generally to the Sfarim that just didn't make the cut into the Tanakh, but it refers to the books of the Tzedukim and the others who didn't have the Torah Shebaal Peh and how they interpreted the Tanakh. And the aloiches al hamaka, and a person who whispers over the maka, va'omer kol hamach la'asher samti b'tzayim lo'esom lecha ki ani Hashem reifecha. He uses some kind of a incantation, what you would call it, some kind of hocus pocus, using psukim even of the Torah, that the Torah says, and the Torah says, any illness which I've put on Mitzrayim, I will not put on you, and he whispers that over the wound, thinking, feeling that that's going to be able to get rid of it. Those two also don't have a portion in Tchias HaMesim. Abba Shola says, Afa Higas Hashem Ba'isi Yosef. Likewise, a person who articulates, who expresses Hashem's name as it is spelled, using its letters. Those are the ones who don't have a portion in the Eilam Haba. What's the issue with this Mishnah? So the Maral says, I don't understand how it is that Kairu B'Sfarim Chitzayinim, okay, so there could be an Isser there. Loichesh Al Hamaka, using the Torah as some kind of, again, as a hocus pocus, I can understand. But why, of all the sins that are possible for a person to commit in the world, why should it be that specifically for these two, they make the list of having a person have this drastic result, She'en Lam Chelek Le'olam Haba? Why is that? That's the question which the Maral has. Now, again, as an important note, the Rambam here, in his Pirush HaMishnayos, in his commentary on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the Rambam takes from this Mishnah, extracts from this Mishnah, the 13 principles of faith. He sees in the first ones, in Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah, in Termin HaShemayim V'Api Kairos, right, and the different categorizations of apikairos which we find, the basic principles of emunah that are fundamental to defining a person as being of Yisrael sheyesh lehem chelek le'olam haba. These are core beliefs of a Jew. And therefore, the chelek le'olam haba, which the Mishnah says, again, remember this quote-unquote fine print, that even though kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek le'olam haba, but there are certain things which could deprive a person of that chelek. Rambam says those are the core beliefs without which the person can't be considered amongst the Kol Yisrael for this purpose, for the purpose of Olam Haba. And, you know, therefore he pulls that from our Mishnah. So it becomes especially important to understand. So what would it be about a particular failing, a particular action, leichesh alamaka? Why does it make it about, what makes it about these things that a person should be therefore deprived? This, you know, fundamental, almost birthright. Why would that be the case? So the Maral will begin by explaining the first three categories, the broader categories, and then go on to the latter three, the two offered by Rabbi Akiva and the one offered by Abba Shaul. Says the Maral that when we speak about the Olam Haba and meriting the Olam Haba, we have to speak about three points, three pieces to that. There is the Mashpia, there's the Rabbono Shel Olam as the grantor of eternity, there is the commodity itself which is being granted, there's the Olam Haba itself, and then there is the Makabel, there's the person's capacity for that Kabbalah, there's the person's capacity to receive it. That's true, of course, of anything, right? If you have an item that you want to send in the mail, right? There has to be the sender, there has to be the item, and there has to be the recipient. And there's no less true by anything, and certainly not by the Olam Haba as well. Sending an article, sending a piece of something in the mail, we might consider as a relatively simple thing, you know, straightforward thing. When it comes to the Olam Haba, it's a little bit more profound, a little bit more complex. But in any case, right, we need to have these three pieces. We have to have the Nisan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to have the commodity, the Olam Haba, and we have to have the Makabel. We have to have ourselves in the realm of being able to receive it. And short of that, it can't happen. See, Maral starts here with a premise. And the premise is the premise of, so to speak, what we would call like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You have to believe in it in order for it to be able to happen, right? For some of you who may have been here on Shabbos yesterday, right? It's a little bit of a Pygmalion effect, right? You have to know that it's there in order for it to be able to happen. Those were going like this, weren't here yesterday. this idea of seeing something as a reality that allows it to come to be a reality. The Pygmalion effect is something that is spoken of in psychology, which is the opposite, that the fact that you see it as a reality can make it into a reality, right? If you believe that someone has the capacity to be really good, so then they will become really good. They will live up to, you know, to what they are considered. But here, it's much more basic than that. It's not even necessarily, in that sense, trying to create it. But it's only going to be there for someone who recognizes it. It's not going to be there if they don't. Right? The Ramban writes, I've mentioned it to you in passing at different times, Eila mitzvos asher yasa oisam ha'odam v'chai bahem. These are the mitzvos that a person should do and live through them. Right? So the Ramban explains that the idea is that the life, the definition of the life that we derive through the mitzvahs, whether it's going to be in this world or in the next or whatever, is going to be through how we ourselves see them, how we ourselves experience them. The level of depth of how we approach it altogether is what's going to come of it. If a person's doing mitzvahs thinking that they just produce for him good, nice benefits in this world, you know, better parnasa, better this, better that, then that's all that they'll be, because that's the entire level of experience of the person. In order to be able to experience something beyond, you have to have a developed taste. You have to have a developed connection for it. Right? Many Sfarim speak about it by a bracha which is given in the Gemara of Olamcha tireh b'chayecha, your world you should see in your lifetime. Right? That a person has to already, here in this world, right? A person can't just say, you know, I'm going to just live this world a pedestrian lifestyle, and then I'm going to come to the Olam Haba, and I'll have something completely new. A person has to already have something of a realization of it, something of a connection to it, something of a developed taste for it, that the person has already here, kamoshahu, as he is here in this world. And so, to be able to have that sense of the Elam Haba, the person has to have the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the source of life in Elam Haba, the sense of life in Elam Haba itself, and the sense of his capacity for it. So those, says the Maharal, are the three components of the three introductory disqualifications, the three basic disqualifications that it says in our Mishnah. Ve'elu she'ein lehem chelek la'olam haba. These are those who don't have a portion in the world to come. The first one is the person who says, ein tchiyas ha'meisim in ha'Torah. What's this idea? There's no such thing that we find, the Torah teaching about the dead being brought back to life. Tchiyas ha'meisim is, the way the Maharal says it, which is the opinion of Rav Rishonim, of most Rishonim, it's a machlokes, the Rambam disagrees, but according to Rav Rishonim, the Tchiyas HaMeisim is Olam Haba, is the Ikar Olam Haba. The main Olam Haba is not the place where right now Avram Avinu, Eliyahu Hanavi, and Shlomo Kalbach, and whoever else, you know, is up there, you know, that's an Olam HaNeshamas, that's the world of the souls. And of course, it's in the future of people who will die before Yemei HaMashiach, before Tchiyas HaMeisim, more accurately. However, that's not the ultimate Olam Haba of which we speak. The ultimate Olam Haba of which we speak is, again, according to Rav Rishonim, according to the Ramban, according to the Ravid, according to the Ramchal, according to the bulk of the Chachmei Yisrael, Asher Al Pi Emanu Chayim, is the Olam Haba is when we will come back. Again, united body and soul, more akin to what's described in the Torah in Gan Eden. Some kind of an existence in this world, which is Gufu Neshama, that's nevertheless like off the charts sublime. Very, very different than our mundane existence, but nevertheless, Gufu Neshama in some shape or form. Excuse me. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvarei. Amen. A person who doesn't recognize Tchiyas HaMeisim, a person who doesn't recognize the possibilities, and indeed not even just the possibilities, but v'nemanat alach yes meisim, the essential inevitability, the guarantee of eternity, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to the person, so then their whole connection to that chiyus, to that life, is different. They don't believe themselves possible, accessible to it. And I mentioned recently, I think it may have been on Leil Hashanah Rabbah for some of you, that a beautiful taich from the Aksav Vakabola, Hirsch of Mecklenburg. Aksav Vakabola says on the pasuk where Esav is having his, they're having the sale of the Bechaira, whatever it is, negotiating over the Bechaira. So Yaakov Avinu wants to buy the Bechaira. And Esav says, Hinei anechi ha'lech lamus v'lama zeli Bechaira. I'm dying anyway. What do I need the Bechaira for? What do I need the Bechaira for? Of course, the statement of Esav, Hinei anechi ha'lech lamus, stands in the strongest contrast to what Chazal tells us about Yaakov Avinu. The Yaakov Avinu, loimes. You know, here Esav was a relatively a kid, however old they were at the time of the Mechiras Bechaira. Let's say they were 60, right? But he lived a long time afterwards. He doubled his lifetime, right? But behold, I'm dying. But Yaakov Avinu, there was no notion of death. Yaakov Avinu, loimes. He didn't die, even though he died. Even though he was buried and embalmed, as the Gemara says. But on a certain level, right, he lived on that certain level that wasn't really death. Right? That he was going to live on in eternity. He was like Adam HaRishon. Chazal say Yaakov Avinu was the one who corrected the Chet of Adam HaRishon. With him, already was corrected by Adam HaRishon. There was no Misa before the Chet, before the sin. Esav describes himself as Hinei Anechi Ha'ilech Lomus. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says that a person who sees themselves that way, they see themselves as life dissipating, as disappearing, they don't see the bright light of the future of going on to an Olam Haba, going on to a world of Tchiyah, so they've already killed them, their essence. They've already undermined and undervalued who they are. And he teaches, he interprets, Chazal would say, Ba'isa yoyim harag Esav es ha-nefesh. Chazal say, on that day, Esav killed the soul. Right? So he teaches, he says, what do you mean harag es ha-nefesh? Right? He killed his own nefesh. In other words, by seeing himself in terms of just his mortal being, that's Rishoim b'chayehem keruim mesim. That's such a thing that even when a person's living and breathing, they're dead. What does that mean? It means that, of course, they have organic physical life. Of course, they can enjoy a milkshake. But they can't enjoy, they have deprived themselves of the potential, of the sensitivity for the greater definition of life. If a person is kafir b'tchiyas hamesim, if they believe that this idea of their life being eternal, of their life continuing with them, that part of themselves, if they don't see that, so then they don't believe in the recipient part of the equation, and therefore it can't stick to them. They've basically written it out of the script. That's one. That's exclusion one. The second one is the person who says, Ein Torah min ha-shamayim. I suspect that it is for this primarily, and also for one of the things that he's going to say a little bit later, that this parak is even here in the Tiferes Yisrael. What does it mean? The person says, Ein Torah min ha-shamayim. Now, we are used to the Rambam's formulation of Ein Torah min ha-shamayim. In other words, as I said to you before, the Rambam uses this Mishnah as the basis for articulating the Yud Gimel Ikarei HaEmunah, the 13 principles of faith. So, included in those 13 principles of faith are belief that there's such a thing as Nevuah, belief in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, that it was qualitatively different than everything else, that everything that we have in the Torah today is given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. So, you know, that's sort of like this, we could view it in a sense as a technical thing. Right? There are those who believe that the Torah was made up. We don't believe the Torah was made up. We believe in Mamre Har Sinai. We believe everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, not just the Ten Commandments, which maybe everybody heard, maybe they didn't, right? But the works, right? The works, Shemitah, everything else, Torah Shebaal Peh, was all given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And therefore, it's not something which comes from a mind which happened to live at that particular time, which was saying those values, but it's eternal values, because it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's, you know, you understand, I think that's normally the way we view it, which is of course a proper and true way to view it. But the Maral has, really from the beginning of the Tiferes Yisrael, been teaching us a different aspect, which here he places in the words Torah min hashamayim. Torah min hashamayim doesn't just mean who's the author. Was it written by Moshe, or was it written by the Ribbono Shel Olam in heaven? Torah min hashamayim means that Torah is heavenly. Okay? Understand the difference? That's just simply the byline. Brought to you by God. Its Torah is heavenly. Heavenly. Torah is that which is not just simply an earthy thing. It's not just simply a material thing that exists within the world. Another type of chachma, another source of wisdom to be able to negotiate and figure out how things should be done. A person was created with a divine capacity, etzelem elokim, to be godly. And the tool, and the instruction, and the insight to expand, to cultivate, to develop that shomaimius, that heavenly nature, I just made up that word, right? That heavenly component within the person is the Torah. The Torah is shomayim. What do we sing on Simchas Torah? Yisrael v'ayraisa v'kutcha barichu chadu. Right? The Jewish people and the Torah and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam are one. Right? The Torah is one with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. When the Jewish people absorb the Torah, then we become one with the Torah and in turn one with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, which means we become of another world, of another quality. We're not just simply physical human beings smarter than lower life forms, than primates, than whatever else it is. No, we have this divine component, the Vayipach Ba'apov, that's something heavenly. Torah min hashamayim, a person who denies that Torah min hashamayim, they deny this otherworldly quality. Says the Maharal, that's a denial of Olam Haba. It's not a denial just of my capacity for Olam Haba. If I say there's no Torah min hashamayim, then I'm saying that there is nothing
beyond this world.
Beyond. There's nothing that has this quality beyond the Oretz. You know, Shemayim is, you know, nice bright blue sky. Things shine through. Is there something? Is there something that originates from there? Is there something of that non-physical quality? Torah min hashamayim equals Olam Haba. Olam Haba is that currency, that content. So again, a person says, Ein Tchiyas HaMeisim, is saying, there might be something there, but to me it doesn't come. A person says, Ein Torah min hashamayim, is saying there's nothing like that there. And that's a more basic denial. Again, Ein L'chelek L'Olam Haba, he's denying the very quality which is called Olam Haba. What's the third exclusion? The third exclusion is Apikairos. What's an Apikairos? Apikairos is a heretic, a person who doesn't believe. Right? So the easy one is the person doesn't believe in God. So he doesn't believe in the one who gives it. Right? You can't believe in Torah min hashamayim, you can't believe in Olam Haba if you don't believe that there is a source for that. You need, as we said, you need a recipient, you need the item itself, and you need the sender for the letter to get there, right? You have to have the sender. If you don't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all it boils down to in the end, right? We can talk about these greater values. There are people who will speak about greater values, things which are beyond the physical, right? But they have to recognize, in order to have the Olam Haba, which is not just living greater values, but it's living Zeh Hashem Kivinulai, it's living in connection with Hashem, the source of all of that, you have to believe in that. You know, many years ago, about 20 years ago, I went around to a number of people asking them a question. The Ramban writes in the beginning of the Shar HaGmul, in the introduction to the Shar HaGmul, it's in the introduction to his Pirush on Iyav. The Ramban writes there, of course the book of Iyav deals with Tzadik V'Ralei, bad things happening to good people, the age-old question. And the Ramban writes there about how, you know, it's really possible, it's not such a hard thing to understand bad things may be happening to people. People don't do good. I haven't seen this Ramban in a long time, so forgive me if I'm not quoting him exactly accurately. But you know, the old principle which the Gemara, which Chazal teach us about when, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes gives, you know, the main world is the world to come. That's the one which is forever. So sometimes Hashem will give people rewards in this world, you know, to get them out of the way so that he can get them what they really deserve in the world to come, vice versa. It says, the Ramban, one thing which I can't understand, which really is beyond understanding, says the Ramban, would be that a person who believes in Kadmus HaOlam, meaning believes in the world as never having been created, a world that just existed, that a person who doesn't believe in the God who created the world, how they could have any reward whatsoever. Even if they do all kinds of good things. So I asked a few significant people about this Ramban. I said, I don't understand. You know, a person who has a coin fall out of his pocket. Okay? The Gemara says, Rashi brings it in Chumash, Dvarim by Shikha. You're walking down out of here today. You pull your car keys out of your pocket, and a $5 bill falls out. Somebody comes out of the minyan, and they don't have money, they're struggling, and so on and so forth. And they're hungry, or whatever it is, and they find the $5 bill, and they don't have to, you know, there's no hakraza, just a generic $5 bill found in the parking lot. And they pick it up, and they go and they're able to buy a loaf of bread and two cans of tuna fish, and they go home to their family and they give it them to eat, and they have a good lunch today. Someone says you get rewarded for that, even though you had no intention whatsoever to do the mitzvah. You get rewarded for that. So a person who doesn't believe in God, but they believe in goodness. Now, many people told me, if a person doesn't believe in God, that any good they do is for some reason just self-serving, just because they feel good. I don't believe it, excuse me. I don't believe it. I think there could be altruistic atheists. Although it's difficult to say altruistic atheist three times fast. But nevertheless, there is such a thing as an altruistic atheist, I think.
There's a word for saying it three times fast.
There is such a thing. So why would they not be rewarded? Well, discuss with them, whatever they said. I think that the MS is, right? I think really that's what the morale is speaking about over here, is it's not that we're saying that the action isn't worthy of anything. But reward, implying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, some kind of involvement in the person, in their life, it means that there has to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life. If you recognize that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then things can start to chalk up. The intended, the unintended. Because you're living your life in the realm, in the sphere of influence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem will send, Hashem will give you Olam Haba. But if Hashem isn't there, so whatever you do, you're doing it into a black hole. You may want to do it anyway, lishma, altruistic, beautifully. But that Hashem recognizes, when he's recognized, it's all part of it. When he's there, Olam Haba, for the apikairis, the person who spent his life avoiding saying that Hashem isn't there, thinking that Hashem isn't there, suddenly, boom, right? Now he's going to live in proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Olam Haba. It doesn't work.
They'll still get lost or get punished?
Lost. Ein lam chelug Olam Haba, the Rambam says, is the ultimate punishment, which is ibadain, oblivion, disappearance, no eternity. Now the Maral goes on. He says, "But 1 second, you know, the Gemara says to be an apikairis doesn't require that much. About apikairis would be a mevaze sachacham." The Gemara says a person who insults or ridicules the Talmud Chacham. Even more, the Gemara says a person who's mevaze chaveiro bifnei achacham, a person who humiliates his friend in front of the Chacham, that he's not embarrassed before the Chacham. That person doesn't believe in God. Says the Maral, you know, he doesn't have to be an apikairis that just doesn't believe in God altogether. Raki ain't so shia kefer legamre ba'ol of siva roshena. Raki mein yiras Hashem al ponav ein of ol shamayim. If he has no present fear of Hashem, if he doesn't have yiras shamayim, he says, look, the chacham, the person who's going to have the Chachmas HaTorah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it say? What did Rabbi Akiva darshan? What was Rabbi Akiva's famous drasha? Es Hashem Elokech Hatira. The rabbis, Talmidei Chachamim. Right? To be able to, the Chacham has something because of his access to Hashem's Torah. So therefore some extension of whatever comes to Hashem comes to him. Some extension, some limited extension. And therefore this person, who either rejects the Chacham outright, or is willing to insult his friend in front of the Chacham, which means that he doesn't really, he's not directing the ridicule towards the Chacham, but it doesn't register to him. That's Me'ein, the Hefkerus, which is the way he understands the term, Apikairis, right? It's found in others, from the same term of Hefker, is freedom from authority. Freedom from living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu above him. So there he's missing the source. So you need these three elements to be a Ben Olam Haba. You need to know there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. He has to be in front of you to some degree through whatever delegates and elements that he can be seen in front of us in this world. We have to understand that there's something in this world, which exists in this world, which is heavenly. Right? Ki heim chayenu, or I'll quote this passage, right? Ki heim chayenu ve'erech yameinu. Right? You know about the Torah, that it's something which gives us eternity, which gains for us eternity, which is itself a chayim of a different quality of eternity. And we have to know that there's chiyas ha-meisim. We have to know that it's subject to us. It's something that we can make a part of ourselves and therefore grow within ourselves.
What about the Tanakh Mishnah?
Okay. So there's a famous debate on this Mishnah. The Rambam seems to be of the position that if a person doesn't actively have these beliefs, so then they don't have a chelek olam haba. According to the Maral, you can understand it better because it's a currency. You know, there's a famous statement from Rav Chaim Brisker. The Ravid asked the Kasha, one of the Rambam's principles of apikursus, what he believes is apikursus, one which perhaps was most worked on by the Rambam, was incorporeality. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. If you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is some kind of a physical being, so then that constitutes apikursus. That's heresy. Because physicality is limited, and so on and so forth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unlimited. So the Rambam wrote this in the first parak of Yesodei HaTorah, but belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have to believe in the incorporeality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wrote a book, a sefer, called the Moir Nevuchim. Right? He writes about all kinds of things there, but the primary purpose of the Moir Nevuchim that occupies most of it, the first two-thirds, is taking all the places where you find in Torah that it seems to refer to Hashem as physical, and explaining them anthropomorphically, explaining them as being just derech moshel. That's not really. That was to Rambam a critical principle. Writes the Ravid in his notes on the Rambam, he says, how can you tell me that an apikiris, that a person who believes that Hashem is physical is an apikiris, when there were many rabbim ugedailim, there were many and great people who did understand that Hashem had a physical essence from the many texts in the Tanakh and in the Lashonos of Chazal that give that impression? To which Rav Chaim Brisker responded, and he said, Nebach an apikiris is eich an apikiris. A person who, Nebach, who sadly, unfortunately, understandably, is an apikiris, is still an apikiris. Meaning, that tinek shenishba, again, I'm not telling you that this is halacha l'maisa. I'm telling you, the Rambam, I have a feeling, again, it would be in the Maral. I don't know if the Maral has a stated position on this particular question. Tinek shenishba means that the animosity that we would feel towards a person who doesn't believe has no place whatsoever towards somebody who doesn't know innocently. Verkehrt. To them, you have an obligation to love them and to try to help bring them to have these critical beliefs, these critical understandings. There's no room for any animosity towards them. However, if these beliefs are just the currency of Olam Haba, without which you can't get in, what can you do? You know, a person stands in line for a flu shot and wanted to get a flu shot, right? And by the time he gets to the end of the line, there's no vaccine left. He's not a schlepper. He's not negligent. He's not vaccinated. You know, it's just, you know, some things you have to have it to be able to do it. So that's what the Rambam seems to hold. That's what we talk about over here. There's no reason for animosity. Nobody should be upset. And if I cared, ideas, tap them in, help them tap in to this life. Okay, so those are the three. What about the next two? Rabbi Kiva adds, Akeir b'svar machitzaynim, v'haloiche shalamaka. What's happening there? Says the Maral, what Rabbi Akiva is saying is, this person who may have a relationship to Torah, he may have a relationship to Torah, he's learning Torah, but he also reads in the Svarim Chitzaynim of the Minim, he also uses the Torah to be Lechesh Al Amaka. So he says his issue is that his relationship to that Torah, his connection to that Torah, is clearly significantly flawed. enough that again he's forfeited the currency of Olam Haba. How's that? So he says, on the one hand it's to the yamin, on the one hand it's to the shmal, one hand to the right or to the left. He says, the person who's kair b'svarim achitzayim, says, Taira is emes, it's truth. The person's reading other things which deviate from the truth, parallel to Taira. Yeah, not that the person's learning it because he's reading it because he's learning how to be a respondent to the questions of the minim. He's learning it. So he says, this person is obviously not seeing the Taira as the MS. It's putting it together exactly with something else. That is a complete undervaluation of Taira. Right? The person has to see the Taira as being just qualitatively different than anything else. It's like what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says. A person who is learning Taira, I mean, what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is talking about is something that would seem even more moderate. A person is learning Taira and stops and admires the view. Right? A view is a beautiful thing. It's a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But do you know what the Taira is? The Torah is the words of truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, not just what he created. The Mishnah says, Harizu Mischayev ben Afshay, he's given up his life. Right? It's a complete undervaluation of what Torah is. How much more so, where he's trading it or using it, you know, together, side by side with something which is not true. And then you have the other hand, which is Alechesh Alamaka. The person who uses the Torah to whisper over the wounds. He says, what's the issue there? The issue there is also a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says, the shtamish betaga cholaf. The person who tries to use the crown of Torah for material things, he's basically traded it in. This is the way the Rishonim translate it. And others. The idea is, he's taken something, the Torah, which is for sublime eternal values, and instead he's using it for mundane material things. He's changed it. He's altered it. He's given the Torah a completely different and lower character than it should have, than it deserves.
It wasn't as part of it.
Right. So that's, again, you know, that's the Chaybohem of the Ramban. Right? He's using the Torah as a, you know, a nice convenient thing to do it, and it's such a thing. Keep the Torah something sublime. Right? Somebody will promise you they're going to go do this, that, you know, solve all your problems, right? You know, you'll do this thing, that thing, the other thing. That's not what it's about. That's not what Torah is supposed to be used for. Torah is supposed to be used for Bashamayim. Torah min Hashamayim. For that part. Not for the mundane. Guilty. Teaching Torah for a fee is very much what those Mishnayos are talking about. If the person's going to teach Torah as a profit-making venture, per se, so then it's the same thing. That's the mission of Kardum Lachborba, making it into a shovel to dig with. The reason why somebody like myself, I get paid to teach Torah, right? I get paid not really to teach Torah, though. I get paid because if I didn't get paid, I couldn't afford to teach Torah. That's the way it has to work, which is that, you know, I have a family. I have to support them, right? So I could go and I could do something else, right? But somebody says, you know, we need a rabbi, right? I'm sorry, I can't be a rabbi. I have to support my family. Do me a favor. We'll pay you what you would have got from something else, right? We won't exactly talk about what that something else would be, right? and then you'll be able to just you'll be here as a rabbi. So basically, you're supposed to be teaching for free. And by the way, you know, we have that in common, rabbis, with one other profession. Yeah. Yours, doctors. Doctors also are not supposed to do this. This one day, Me'et Hashem, hopefully soon, when we have a chance to talk about healthcare reform, not in this year, right? But Torah, it's a very significant sugya. Very significant sugya. Doctors and rabbis are supposed to do their trades for nothing. And their payment is supposed to be just because they're not doing something else. Now, for the rabbi's wages, you can understand lots of other things he could be doing. The doctor might be a little different. But but nevertheless, that's the way it works. And it's I want to tell you something. I always, you know, it's important for a person who's in this to have it that way. You know, for me personally, I know that the worst part of my thing is whenever I have to deal with anything to do with my wages, with my salary, something like that. Because it's very hard to do that without it does. It takes the Torah. You know, I like to just get that passed, and so it's just like a renewable thing, you know. Because otherwise, it takes the Torah, and it does make it into something else. As much as you say, "I'm paying me not to do that," but you know, it's very uncomfortable, and it expresses itself. You know, there are so many who I've seen over the years, Baruch Hashem, people who we've brought in, you know, who we try to bring in people, you know, once or twice a year. You know, we bring in people who don't just have good things to say, but who are, you know, real like role models. And you know, you invariably say, "Look, you know, you have to come. You know, what do we pay you?" You know, and you see sometimes, very often, Baruch Hashem, from people, you know, they say, "You know, you know, like either like whatever, or you know, like, look, I already get paid my schar batola. I already get paid to be able to free to do this. You know, it's not necessary, whatever it is. So of course we're gonna pay them anyways, right?" But they're very much understanding that you can't do that. You can't turn. It's not okay. Here, it's X $1,000 for this, you know, or whatever it is. It's not a commodity like something else that's supposed to be just translatable into this world.
Okay, what about this people that were like a speaking circuit?
You know, look, that could be their schabatola. I'm not saying it to cast a string. That could be their schabatola. They say, "Look, you know, if I'm not, the only way I can do it is if I do this kind of thing." And sometimes people do it also because they can't do it all the time. So it's sort of like right. You know, it helps sort of, you know, whittle things out. But you know, it's not to say a tarumas on anybody. But it's very important that the person has to have that adjusted. Clearly, you know, in their heads. You know, for me, I had that's the fundamental reason. Some people tell me all the time that it's too machmir and stuff, but that's why, like, we put out all the shiurim are free. You know, like on the web, they're all free. It's there already. You know, it's there already. It's not like any more batola. It's like, you know, it's there already. Baruch Hashem. You know, once you have it, one, let it ner lecha ner lameya. Now, so again, people sometimes differently. The only way they can do things, but it's if you have the luxury to do it, it's good. Finally, last thing. Avishol said, the problem is Hahayga Hashem b'yisiyisef, person who says the name of Hashem with its letters. So what's with that? Okay, understand, you're not supposed to name the same of Hashem and so on. What's the problem? That is ein lechilik l'adam abba. Says Maral, delicious. He says, Zeshemi le'olam, right? So we darshan, Zeshemi le'olam. My name is to be hidden. There are things that in this world, at least now, are to be hidden. They're not to be seen. They're not visible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the Gemara says, is Raya ve'enai nira. He's invisible. The way of this world, the eyes that we have in this world, it's not visible. It's something which we're supposed to be able to sense with that sixth sense, with that sense of ruchnius, which is the entry card to the Elam Haba. But it's not something which is tangible or visible. Right? People say, "Oh, you know, prove to me the Rabbeinu Shel Olam." So what I feel is, it's not a weakness that you can't show the people the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's exactly the strength. It's not, if we could only prove the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's exactly it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a positive quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he's not visible in this world. That he's not of this of this cloth. He's not cut of this cloth, so he's not visible. He can't be seen. Olam Haba is called Olam Haba HaTzofun L'Tzadikim. Mor Rav Tuvcha Asher Tzofanta L'Reyecha. Right? It's hidden. No eye has seen it. Right? When you get to Tzofun in the Seder, right? If you read any right? Anybody, right? The mystical, the tzafun, right? Stuffy kaimon, which was hidden away. It's a remes to ilam abba, right? It's that which is hidden. It's that which can't be seen in this world. The name of Hashem, as is, which is the essence of Hashem, not just Hashem's hanhaga. Elohim is Hashem's actions. The name of Hashem is Hashem's essence. It's not to be seen here in this world, in the Beis HaMikdash. In the same place where you say Baruch Shem Kaved Malchusay out loud, right? There the name of Hashem is expressed clearly. There it's vivid. There it's clear. But elsewhere, no. If this person is pronouncing Hashem's name out loud, then his perception of Hashem is one which is audible, one which is visible. It's not the one. It's not the Elam Abba Tzafon L'Tzadikim. Ha'chayga Hashem B'Aisi Yosef is taking that which is Tzafon and presenting it as open and visible. Sorry guys, wrong show. Wrong show. Isn't that chashuv?
Yep.
Gevaldik. Okay. Have a good day, a good week, a good nechayde.